Welcome, everyone, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne. As we usually do, let's begin with a few moments of silence. Using this moment to pause, to turn within. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. And whatever we need, if it's a word, if it's a thought, if it's a still, open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And we can trust that we will share whatever we need to share, we'll hear whatever we need to hear. And with the love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of this time and place. All right. So we are picking up midsection. So in the Sparkle edition, we are going to be on page 273. And it is beginning, it's like, let's see, it's the second full paragraph on the page. It begins with, I am the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. So again, page 273 in the Sparkle edition. In the original edition, it is going to be page 229, or another way of finding it is chapter 11. Part 8, paragraph 66. And that also starts with the sentence, I am the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And then last but not least, the Foundation for Inner Peace edition is page 230, very bottom of the page, paragraph number 6. Starts with the same sentence. And my page just closed. All right, here we go. It opened right back up. Okay. I am the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and when you see me, it will be because you have invited him. For he will send you his witnesses, if you will but look upon them. Remember always that you see what you seek, for what you seek you will find. The ego finds what it seeks, and only that. It does not find love, for that is not what it is seeking. Yet seeking and finding are the same. And if you seek for two goals, you will find them, but you will recognize neither. For you will think they are the same, because you want them both. The mind always strives for integration, and if it is split and wants to keep the split, it will believe it has one goal by making it one. So I'll pause there. So this paragraph, to me, the first thing that comes up is in the beginning where it says, he will send you his witnesses if you will but look upon them. Remember always that you see what you seek, for what you seek you will find. So again, if we're looking through the ego's eyes, because we want to, we're going to see witnesses for the ego. We're going to see those scary pictures, out there in the world. We're going to see those witnesses for fear. Whereas if we are truly desiring peace and to awaken and choosing to see with the Holy Spirit's vision, we're going to see those witnesses. It goes on to say how... Where did that go? The ego finds what it seeks, and only that. It does not find love, for that is not what it is seeking. Yet seeking and finding are the same, and if you seek for two goals, you will find them, but you will recognize neither. So in other words, if we have this split where we want, let's say, love and fear, or oneness and separation, however you want to say it, we're not going to recognize either of these things because... these are two totally opposing goals. So this last sentence in particular, the mind always strives for integration, and if it is split and wants to keep the split, it will believe it has one goal by making it one. So in other words, what the way, and again, please, if anybody has any insights or interpretations that pop up for you surrounding this language, to me that says that if we want to keep the separation going unconsciously, you know, this isn't a conscious thing, if we want to keep the split, we're not going to see that this is, that we're doing this to ourselves, and we're going to believe that we're trying to choose love when in fact, you know, the ego is still running rampant all over the place. So that's what comes up for me with those. Does anybody else have anything to add, to share?
It's kind of like which voice you're listening to.
Always, yep. That's, it's like the Course is saying the same thing over and over and over. It is. It's exactly that. Which voice are we going to listen to?
And then what is integration? What is being referred to there?
The mind always strives for integration, and if it is split and wants to keep the split, it will believe it has one goal by making it one. So, again, if anybody has any thoughts, please add. Integration, I mean, our mind is only one. That's what it is in truth, and so it makes me think of how, like, electricity always seeks to go back to its source. There was a problem, I remember, in a town near where I live. It's a town called Brick Township in New Jersey, and back, this is a long time ago, probably when I was in high school, I remember seeing a newspaper article that people were getting zapped in their underground swimming pools because of stray electricity, because electricity is always seeking to go back where it came from. Our mind is whole. It's one. And so we have seemingly twisted off a little part of the mind of oneness to experience this, you know, seemingly completely separate identity. And the mind just wants to go back to what it is in truth. That awareness wants to come forward in our awareness. So that's what that means to me. Does that make sense?
Well, it's not that you can only think of one thing at a time. It's not that. It's not the mental process.
Right. It goes deeper than that. Right.
Deeper.
Yes,
it's your,
absolutely.
It's your focus. It's what you put yourself in or something.
Right, right. It's that integration of it's wanting to recognize its oneness again is how is I guess the best way that it makes sense to me. Yeah, does anybody else have anything to add surrounding that idea? Does that help, Ryan?
Yeah, it's that ego thing again. The split.
Right? Darn
Get rid
it.
Of the split, go to a one, and it's love, right? It's got to
right,
be.
Right, right, right. Absolutely. Yep. Mm. Absolutely.
Wow.
Let's read the next paragraph. We said before that what you project is up to you, but it is not up to you whether to project, for projection is a law of mind. Perception is projection, and you look in before you look out. As you look in, you choose the guide for seeing, and then you look out and behold his witnesses. This is why you find what you seek. What you want in yourself, you will make manifest by projection, and you will accept it from the world because you put it there by wanting it. So this is pretty profound. This is saying, so we're projecting all the time. We can't, it's saying that we can't not project because it's a law of mind. By the way, those of you, if I think, Paul, you said you have the Foundation for Inner Peace Edition, and Carol, you might too.
Yeah.
Does it use a different term here, or is it, am I reading what you have in your book?
In
terms of projection.
Oh, in terms of projection. Did you say I said before that what you project? At the very beginning of that paragraph.
We said before that what you project is up to you.
And what it says in the foundations of inner peace, or for inner peace, is I said before. So it's using the I statement.
Okay.
Not
and
we.
I just found the paragraph in the FIP. It
okay.
also says in the FIP, I said before that what you project or extend is up to you.
Right.
But you must do one or the other for that as law of mind, which is actually a helpful clarification, because what the difference that the course, the distinction it makes between projection and extension is what we do on this level. Extension is on the mind of God level. Like, extension is of love. We can only extend love. So it's actually helpful in that addition to have that additional word, project or extend,
okay.
written in there. Anybody have any questions or comments so far? Anything coming up for anyone?
Seems like most of this is done on kind of an unconscious level.
It is, and that's why the way that we're working with it on this level is that when those things keep popping up, you know, those recurrent lessons, the difficult people, the conflict, the anxiety, you know, whatever form it seems to take, it's the same underlying problem, which is just the separation, which is just that we believe that we've actually separated from our source. And so as we take whatever that issue is, you know, whatever it is that's popping up into our awareness, as we take that to the Holy Spirit, we let it be reinterpreted, and we undo this crazy projection of the ego to remember the love that we are.
I was listening to a Ken Wapnick tape on YouTube today, and he was saying we are literally throughout the day, throughout our lives, either listening to the voice for God or for the ego. It's not like we do that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we do, and the body is almost like a puppet.
Mm-hmm.
It is a puppet.
Mm-hmm.
That it really doesn't think, feel. It was enough to blow me right off the chair listening to what he was saying. And he said, basically, go live your life. Just live your life. Enjoy your life as best as you can. But you really need to be an observer of what you're listening to,
right.
And you know, not. And that's a beautiful way of not going into all this crazy judgment, you know. He said, she said, who did what?
Right.
Very interesting.
Yeah. That's really powerful. I really like the idea of the body just being a puppet, and it's going to act out
whatever's going to act out
based on which teacher we're listening to.
Exactly.
So yep.
And that's just like this is saying, you can't help but do that. So that's why he's saying, go about your life. Just don't worry about it, but try to become the observer of it,
right.
And not get caught up in it and make it real.
Mm-hmm.
That can be very challenging.
Mm-hmm. Carol, were you going to add something?
Yeah, in every word you add, Paula, I'm going, yeah. Because when you spoke earlier, you talked about this is at such an unconscious level.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last 24, 48 hours, I feel like I've been very off. And I'll just say that general statement because it's enough. But with being exposed to the news for almost 8 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
5 days a week,
mm-hmm.
It's really turned me askew a lot, where it says, this is why you find what you seek. I mean, after listening and listening, you know, to this I call it garbage. I've always thought it was garbage, and now it's like going through my, you know, going through the ethers, and I'm going, oh my God, like I'm starting to breathe this kind of stuff, and it doesn't feel good. It's all ego. It's all ego stuff, and I can still sometimes stand back and go, this is ludicrous. I mean, to hear some of the stuff that people are saying, and yet I find it difficult to separate. Like by the end of the week, it's sort of like ingrained in me,
mm-hmm.
and to separate from the insanity of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, that spirit, it just feels like it's sort of like leaving me. As I'm listening and listening and listening to this, I don't know, insanity. I just wonder, you know, is because you made the statement, Corinne, about how profound this is, and it is. It's so profound that we project all of this. Like we look at it, and it's just like, and see, I'm judging. I'm saying it's ludicrous. It's insane. It's this. It's that. I think.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I know.
That's what he's saying. That's the problem. That's what happens. That's what we do. So it's, you know, becoming the observer of those words and just not, you know, just letting them be words.
Yeah.
You know, Carol, you're describing a valuable observation in that, you know, you said it feels like spirit is leaving you, you know, when you're, but what's happening, spirit's not going anywhere. It's simply the ego's voice is just getting louder. And so you can't hear spirit anymore because the ego is like,
exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm the type of person that I can't read with noise.
Uh-huh.
I have to read in silence in order for me to process what I'm reading.
Uh-huh.
So if I'm sitting there, even with a course, even if I have the course book right in front of me and this, the only word I can use is this noise is in the background, I'm not really processing what I'm reading.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just adding that to what you're saying because what you read, I agree, it's very, very profound.
You know, is this, you had shared previously that you were taking care of someone who has the news on all the time. Is that the same situation?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wonder, and I'm just, this is coming forward, so I'm just going to throw this out there in terms of, you know, since you're not in that environment at the moment or, you know, when you go home,
right.
Perhaps asking the Holy Spirit for help in what to do, and I don't know what the answer is. I mean, I don't know if putting on headphones with the course on, you know, would help, or if you know, the answer were to come as to, you know, what every time you see something on the news, remembering, you know, to give this to the Holy Spirit too, and this news story and this news story, like it can almost be a practice of, you know, a deep willingness to literally hand every, I mean, my goodness, I'm thinking of doing this, watching the news, and it'd be like a constant practice of handing everything over that you are hearing and seeing to spirit. But I'm just wondering, you know, if you could ask the Holy Spirit that question, how can you be of, you know, greatest service in this moment when you see how it only makes the ego's voice stronger. I'm wondering, you know, what answer you might be given, if, you know, if anything comes forward. But that just came forward for me, so I figured I would just throw it out there.
Thank you. Well, I know last week I did experience some, you know, because sometimes I literally physically get up and leave because I can't be exposed to it. And there are some times that I realize that I I'm reading this book by Adi Ashanti, and this one chapter talks about letting go of struggle. And I felt like this past week I chose to, you know, like to struggle because I was like physically still in the room. And there was a lot, as everybody knows, a lot of news this week. And, you know, I just, one of the things that happened that was super, super cool was I had gotten up and I left. And when I came back in, now she watches the news from 4 to 6 religiously. And I came back in the room and the cooking channel was on. And I'm like, this is a miracle. it was really very enjoyable for the last hour and a half to watch the cooking channel. I'm like,
that is a miracle.
Miracles do happen.
They do.
And so I have to, you know, I guess what I'm hearing with all this is, again, not to get attached to the fact that the cooking channel is the answer. But it
right.
does feel good to laugh about it.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Yeah, so it's a tough position that you're in, and yet you're in that, there's no mistakes, right? We know that
right.
from the course, that there's never any mistakes. You're exactly where you need to be for your greatest learning. And so if that's the case, you know, it really is just another opportunity to practice turning to the Holy Spirit even in that situation, and even if it means writing it on your hand, like to remember, you know, to have something else to focus on other than the TV if it's on. You know, again, I don't know what the answer is.
Right.
Perhaps it can come forth from within, but I do want to acknowledge that, it sounds like a challenging situation.
Well, thank you.
Of course. Well, how about we continue with the next paragraph, because this continues with this idea of projection. When you think you are projecting what you do not want, it is still because you do want it. I want to just pause there because it's funny that we just, you know, we're kind of talking about this and then we just read the sentence. I think we can get easily caught in the form with meaning like, okay, something happens. Let's even just take your example, Carol, of just, you know, being in a room where somebody has the news on for 2 hours straight. And if we were to say, you know, that this is a witness from the ego trying to, you know, hook itself in. If we think we're projecting what we don't want, it's still because we do want it. We don't have to get caught up in saying, oh, I must want to be, like, listening to the news, or I must have wanted that car accident, or I must have wanted whatever the specific situation is. We can sort of step back and broaden this up in that what we do want is to be, and then fill in your name. In other words, I still want to be Corinne. You still want to be Carol. You know, when we're in these situations, what we want is to, there's part of our mind that still wants to be separate. And so these witnesses for the separation are being called forth. So we don't have to be concerned as much about the specific situation that's coming forward, but we can go for the bigger thing going on behind the scenes, and that is that we still want to be in an experience of a completely separate identity. So I just wanted to throw that out there. And it's funny, I actually have this sentence underlined. When you think you are projecting what you do not want, it is still because you do want it. And I have the word written next to this. Boom. Like, bam. That's big. So, okay, anyway.
You know what occurs to me in this is you do want it. You do want to be right about it. That news is disgusting. That's negative. Mm. That's And I see myself at work.
Uh-huh.
Oh. And I'm right. I'm right about this. And I'm making myself sick.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That's really helpful, Paula.
That's what we want.
Yeah.
And that keeps that body identification going. That puts Paula right out front.
Absolutely.
And I am no longer
right.
God's I am no longer in heaven. He said we never left.
Mm-hmm. Nope, we did not. Carol, were you going to add something?
Well, I think, you know, with what you were saying, Paula, I really get that and I appreciate that. I think that I start out that way,
mm-hmm.
and then slowly I move into this, you know, like I said, it feels like it's going through my pores, and then
mm-hmm.
it doesn't feel like I'm that child of God or that I'm, you know, that I have that connection any longer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And that's what we long for. I mean, that's the only problem we have.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he says it's your willingness to get rid of it. And I'm blown away by that.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm still so willing, you know, to get rid of peace.
Yes. Yes.
You know, but then, again, I love what Ken Lochnick said today. Just step back. Be the observer of that thought. Don't beat yourself up with it. Just
mm-hmm.
be the observer of it. What is it? Don't give it any meaning. So
mm-hmm.
try again. You made a mistake. Try again. Get up. Brush yourself off. It's such there's such a kindness in that thinking, I think.
So let's read this next paragraph. I'll just reread the first sentence. When you think you are projecting what you do not want, it is still because you do want it. This leads directly to dissociation, for it represents the acceptance of two goals, each perceived in a different place, separated from each other because you made them different. The mind then sees a divided world outside itself, but not within. This gives it an illusion of integrity and enables it to believe that it is pursuing one goal. As long as you perceive the world as split, you are not healed. For to be healed is to pursue one goal because you have accepted only one and want but one. And that one goal is love with a capital L, the love of God. That one goal is God. So again, this paragraph is sort of describing, in a sense, how perception operates, is that we've looked within and seen, we have these two different goals within our mind, and that is, again, separation versus oneness or love versus fear. And we, in our minds, their experience, it's separated in our minds, and therefore we see a divided world outside of ourselves, but not within. We've sort of forgotten that we actually wanted to maintain a separation. So we don't see that within our mind. So it says that we therefore have an illusion of integrity in our mind, and this enables us to believe that we actually are pursuing love when in essence, you know, it's the ego's version of love.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I don't even know what I just said. And this is, I have the sentence underlined too, as long as you perceive the world as split, you are not healed. So what we see will change as we heal, meaning we begin to see the real world. We begin to see through the Holy Spirit's vision as we heal. And even if we might feel right now like, my goodness, I have a lot of work to do because I see separation and splits, you know, and conflict everywhere. I know everybody on this call has been doing this work wholeheartedly, and I know that I'm sure we can all hopefully honor and see the progress that we have made because we're all waking up. And besides, there's really nothing to heal. It's all done already. So we just have to accept and acknowledge that.
That sounds so comforting to hear.
It's very comforting to me too, because it's done already. Like, there's really no, there doesn't need to be a struggle. There doesn't need to be a lot of effort. We're already healed. We just need to accept it. It's as simple as that. Let's read the next paragraph too. When you want only love, you will see nothing else. The contradictory nature of the witnesses you perceive is merely the reflection of your conflicting invitations. You have looked upon your minds and accepted opposition there, having sought it there. But do not then believe that the witnesses for opposition are true, for they attest only to your decision about reality, returning to you the message you gave them. Love is recognized by its messengers. If you make love manifest, its messengers will come to you because you invited them. And this is where our development of trust comes in. You know, as we develop our trust in the Holy Spirit and have experiences that teach us that the Holy Spirit is there, our willingness to see that love, to recognize that love, becomes stronger and stronger. Anybody else have any thoughts, questions, suggestions, insights, comments? I have a little fruit fly walking all over my book, and he just won't go away. He knows where the good vibes are coming from. I thought it was like a spot in my eye for a second.
I think for me it's just that conflict, of trying to find the central love. And clearing away, once again, the fog, I'm sorry, but clearing away the fog, just, it can really give you a headache, you know, creating this conflict thing, you know, like you're not happy.
I've been there. I definitely can relate to what you're saying, and at the same time, again, it really just is a matter of acceptance. Like, they're really, those blocks that we think are there, like you just said, it's just fog. Like, it's really nothing. It's not even capable of causing a headache. It's just, you know, the headache, the strain is just another ego attempt to make us think this is difficult, you know, to make us feel like it's hard work and that we certainly can't achieve this, you know.
Well said. Oh, yes.
And that's where, going back to what you said, Paula, about how Ken Wapnick talked about how the body is just like, what do you say, like a puppet?
A puppet.
This is where I've been so helped by Nook Sanchez and her work, because she talks about how when because the body is completely neutral and because the body is just an idea, that as we undo these seeming blocks to love, as we look at our belief that we think death is actually part of being in this world, because the body is just an idea that, you know, shifts in our perception about the body can happen too, including, you know, changes within the body, like healings, physical healings, that sort of thing. But obviously, if we're setting out to achieve that, we're going to miss the mark, because then we're making the body more important than it actually is. Next paragraph. The power of decision is your one remaining freedom as a prisoner of this world. You can decide to see it right. In the Sparkle Edition, that's in all caps. You can decide to see it right. What you made of it is not its reality, for its reality is only what you gave it. You cannot really give anything but love to anyone or anything, nor can you really receive anything else from them. If you think you have received anything else, it is because you have looked within and thought you saw the power to give something else within yourself. It was only this decision that determined what you found, for it was the decision of what you sought. So this, again, is big stuff. It's saying, okay, first of all, we have the power to choose. We always have the power to decide to see the world differently. It says, and this is, again, pretty profound, just thinking of, you know, the examples that we've talked about so far. You cannot really give anything but love to anyone or anything, nor can you really receive anything else from them. If you think you have received anything else, so for instance, if we think we've received conflict, you know, if we think we've received, like, feeling put down by somebody, it's because you have looked within and thought you saw the power to give something else within yourself. So if we think we have received anything, you know, any gifts of fear, let's say, in all their many forms from someone outside of ourselves, it's because we think we have the power to give something else within ourselves when really, again, we only are capable of giving love. That's all we are capable of in truth. So I have that.
You know,
oh, go on.
It takes a lot of trust. A lot of trust. And I actually had this experience today where I felt that I had done something I really shouldn't have done. And I felt that the person that I supposedly did this to was really going to be angry at me. And then I was listening to that Ken Wapnick tape, and he put everything in perspective. And when I actually went to see this person with the sense that I was not guilty of anything and that I had made a mistake in my thinking, and I trusted that everything really was okay, and it turned out okay. I mean, it really turned out fine, and I felt I could see so clearly when I left there that I was doing this to myself. I had created a whole little story in my head about what I had done and how that person must, what that person must think of me now. And the ego, it's nuts. It's so nuts. And just stepping back and really just taking it easy on myself and just recognizing, all right, I made a mistake. At least it felt to me like a mistake. Personally, I don't think that person really, that was involved, didn't seem to really care one way or the other. I mean, it really all went so well.
That's beautiful.
Because I went,
yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. That's such a perfect, beautiful example. That's it. It makes perfect sense.
Thank you. Because sometimes it's hard to relate. I mean, you know, you can see it in your own mind, but it's hard to relate that. But it really, the bottom line was trusting in myself and trusting in that person.
And yeah, trusting that you're not guilty.
And trusting that I'm not guilty.
Letting go of that guilt within yourself, and so it didn't show up out there.
Exactly. Exactly. And I actually wound up making something. I wound up making curtains for this person, and they turned out perfect. They were gorgeous. And she was delighted. So it's just
awesome. But thank you so much for sharing that. That was a perfect example.
You're welcome.
Where are we? Okay, next paragraph. You are afraid of me because you looked within and are afraid of what you saw. Yet you could not have seen reality, for the reality of your mind is the loveliest of God's creations. Coming only from God, its power and grandeur could only bring you peace if you really looked upon it. If you are afraid, it is because you saw something that is not there. Yet in that same place, you could have looked upon me and all your brothers in the perfect safety of the mind which created us. For we are there in the peace of the Father, who wills to project his peace through you.
That is beautiful.
Isn't that?
Yes.
I love that last sentence. For we are there in the peace of the Father who wills to project his peace through you. Extend his peace in the FIP? That was my guess. Yep. That's, again, because it's differentiating between extension, which is of God, and projection, which is what we do down here, what we do with the ego.
I think this is so amazing because if you are afraid, it is because you saw something that is not there. And that's exactly what I was experiencing. Mm. I, in my mind, saw guilt, fear.
Uh-huh.
I had done something wrong.
It brings me back to
page
90.
Amazing.
In the FIP edition, you know, the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of our decision if we'll let him. And what we do through the Holy Spirit is let go of that belief that we're guilty. And so, it doesn't show up out there. Awesome. Okay. I guess we'll take the next paragraph. When you have accepted your mission to project peace, you will find it. And does it say something different in the, I lost my place in the Foundation for Inner Peace. I'm just wondering if it.
I was actually writing down what you just. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It does say extend peace in the FIP. When you accepted your mission to extend peace. That's my guess. Actually, I just found it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you have accepted your mission to project / extend peace, you will find it. For by making it manifest, you will see it. Its holy witnesses will surround you because you called upon them and they will come to you. I have heard your call and I have answered it. But you will not look upon me nor hear the answer which you sought. That is because you do not yet want only that. Yet as I become more real to you, you will learn that you do want only that. And you will see me as you look within, and we will look upon the world as God created it together. Through the eyes of Christ, only the real world exists and can be seen. As you decide, so will you see. And all that you see but witnesses to your decision. So this again speaks to how we have a foot in the ego's camp and the other foot in the Holy Spirit's camp, and we just haven't placed both of our feet firmly in the Holy Spirit's camp yet, because we don't just want only to wake up, side for the Holy Spirit. We still vacillate, and it's okay. That's nothing to feel guilty about at all. It becomes another opportunity to just simply look at that with the Holy Spirit. And we come to learn that we do want only love, with capital L. When you look within and see me, it will be because you have decided to manifest truth. And as you manifest it, you will see it both without and within, for you will see it without because you saw it first within. Everything you behold without is a judgment of what you beheld within. If it is your judgment, it will be wrong, for judgment is not your function. If it is the judgment of the Holy Spirit, it will be right, for judgment is his function. You share his function only by judging as he does, reserving no judgment at all unto yourselves. For you will judge against yourselves, and he will judge for you. I'm sorry, but he will judge for you. So that's key, right? How, again, thinking back to the example of the news, there's so many opportunities there for judging just how awful the world is, or even just judging the fact that the news is on. I'm just thinking of what things go through my head in terms of judgment were I to be in a situation like that. So this is pretty black and white clear that if we're judging, it's going to be wrong, for judgment is not our function. If we're seeing lack of peace, if we're feeling lack of peace, we're simply seeing a myth. We're not seeing properly. and therefore it's our perception, our own perception, that needs correction, not versus fixing something out there to then make us feel better. So maybe I should repeat that. If we're feeling a certain way that's, you know, not peaceful, it's our perception that needs correction versus trying to just fix it out there in the world, because judgment is not our function. That's always helpful for me to hear, just as a reminder. It's not our function.
Me too.
Yeah.
Especially as a Scorpio, and we're going into the month of Scorpio, and that's one of the big things. Like, even if it's not negative judgment, but like you said, like, or just judging ourselves or whatever,
right.
It's a huge lesson, and I found the course has helped me so much with that.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It was a good reminder.
It is a good reminder. Even judging, like, it even comes up for me, like, reminder that I don't even know how I'm doing. Like, in terms of, I think I've shared this before, that I used to be like, I'm failing the course. And my stepdad was like, you're not failing the course, you're doing the course. And even when we judge ourselves, thinking, like, I'm not getting this, I don't get it, like, it's just, it doesn't seem like it's working, that's just another form of self-judgment. That could be a time of our greatest strides. We have no idea. The course does say, you know, it does say, you know, go with how you feel, and yet there are, for me, there's a difference in feeling the peace that comes from the Holy Spirit versus a more ego type of peacefulness. So it's like a deep feeling for me. We can't even judge how we're doing. We can just let the Holy Spirit decide our progress.
Yeah.
Yeah, self-judgment, like, has always been like a huge, like, Taz is having a party when I'm judging myself. It's like, you know, like, the big hook is, like, judging myself.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's only through, you know, being diligent with the course that I catch myself now when I'm going down that ego hook road, and it's like, no, I'm able to catch it, where before I would be way down the rabbit hole before I would realize what was happening.
right, yeah, that's great. That awareness is great, and that's, I like how you put that, because we do start, you know, catching ourselves faster, and we recover faster versus, like you said, already being way down the rabbit hole and then realizing that we're at the bottom. And that's the other thing, too, that the Course says, is that when you start judging, you won't see how quickly you slip to the bottom of that rabbit hole, that it's just like, you know, take a step down that direction, and it's like you're kind of hopping on the railing of the staircase and just sliding all the way down. It's a real fast route to the ego when we get caught in judgment, and so it's the moment we notice it, we have that power to choose again, like it says. The power of decision is our remaining freedom.
I think the beautiful thing in all of this, too, is that the Holy Spirit is not limited by any of this. And it's just that little bit of willingness to say, all right, I've had enough.
Mm-hmm.
I've had enough.
Mm-hmm.
Take it.
Right.
Get it off of me.
Right.
And he does. He takes it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that, you know, it's just that willingness.
Right. That tiny bit of willingness is all. Let's read the next paragraph. I think we'll actually finish this section tonight. Remember then that whenever you look without and react unfavorably to what you see, you have judged yourself unworthy and have condemned yourself to death. The death penalty is the ego's ultimate goal, for it fully believes that you are a criminal as deserving of death as God knows you are deserving of life. The death penalty never leaves the ego's mind, for that is what it always reserves for you in the end. Wanting to kill you as the final expression of its feeling for you, it lets you live but to await death. It will torment you while you live, but its hatred is not satisfied until you die, for your destruction is the one end toward which it looks and the only end with which it will be satisfied. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. Like, why do we listen to this thing?
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Why do we listen to the ego. Like, this doesn't sound good, you know. Oh, it's pretty funny. It's insane. That's insane is what it is.
Yep.
Completely.
Hey, family.
Is this Carla?
Yeah.
Hi, Carla.
Hey, I was just listening in, and I was laughing to myself. I don't know who just said it, but that little bit of willingness. When I am at a point where I am, like, so frustrated, exasperated, I got a whole lot more than a little bit of willingness. Uh-huh. It just seems that it you know, consciously, like, I was away. I went to the doctor's this weekend, and generally when I go to the doctor, the experience I have is actually quite easy, pleasant, and they take blood work, and, you know, my veins are, like, really generous. Well, this time, my veins were, like, pretty much get off me, stop touching me, and it wasn't flowing, and I'm not used to that, and it hurt. And I was going, I know what this is about, you know, because on some level, I still want to hold on to whatever the ailment might be for whatever reason, you know, for whatever reason. And it's just so, it's so mind-boggling that I would want to hold on to something that I experience such displeasure with. And
right.
I know that at some point, wherever I'm at, I will be in peace and I'll be content. But I'm really, really honest enough saying to myself, I'm not there yet. And so there are some things that at the level of the world that I need to do to experience more peace as my mind is healing. And I was just noticing, like, little things, you know, like that happening at the doctor's office. It was something else that happened. I forget, but it was something else that happened that was like, whoa, are you kidding me? Are you freaking kidding me? And I'm just like, this is amazing how this stupid stuff is happening just like to hurt myself. And I'll give you an even nuttier example. I just became acquainted with someone recently. Now, I'm sure folks can relate to you kissing frogs till you get to the prince or the princess, whatever, however the story goes. Now, mind you, I'm used to the kissing the frogs. See, I know how to deal with the frogs. But when somebody comes along and they seem like the prince, well, I'm like, oh, I feel like I need to throw up. Because now I don't know what to do. Like, this is not my pattern here. And I'm going, even that was disquieting. And I'm going, this is so damn sick. This is so crazy. This is so crazy. If someone is showing up and they're being loving and kind and gentle and all that, isn't that what you want? And I'm thinking to myself, my mind is so screwed up that that scares me. But I'm really grateful that I could at least notice the craziness. I mean, it's just pure foolishness, debauchery, and just craziness, you know, crazy. So I'm just noticing, you know, how this stuff just, it keeps coming up, and I'm reading about the ego and how it wants to kill me and all that other stuff. And I have to pray, you know, Lord, please protect me from my ego, because sometimes I am afraid. The stuff jumps off, and it's not like I consciously thought about the stuff, having that needle get jammed in like three veins and just be a difficult pull. It's not like I consciously went in there and said, "This, yeah, I need that today," you know. I didn't think about that. But unconsciously, I made that decision, and I've got to take that. You know, it's like I've got to eat that, because everything that happens to me at some level, that's what I ask for. And I'm like, it's difficult to swallow that at times, but if this is going to help me to move to the next phase, see, on the way to feeling peaceful and blissful all the time, I'm not going to feel peaceful and blissful all the time. So I give myself a little bit of space for that.
Right.
So, yeah. So I don't know.
I like that.
I recognize that in my mind, there's a part of my mind that just is really just outlandish and crazy and doesn't want to see me happy and always wants to keep me in conflict. And I guess now I'm just starting to just go, oh, that's what it does. You know,
right,
it's doing
right.
what it's supposed to do. That part of my mind is doing what it's supposed to do. So, I mean, I'm going to feel my feelings, and then I'm going to also turn it over to spirit. I'm going to use my tools. But it gets really frustrating. It gets really frustrating when this stupid stuff happens. And I'm like,
but,
damn.
But, you know,
and
I think
doing
you're
this
kind
myself.
Of interesting. Because, Carla, that's exactly what Ken Wapnick was saying to do. You are either thinking with the voice for God or you're thinking with the ego. And he said, you know, just try to detach from it. And that's exactly what you're doing. And you're looking at it and saying, this is nuts.
And I'm hearing more humor. Like, I'm hearing the humor. Like, you're laughing at it, too. Like,
yeah, that is so wonderful when you can laugh at it.
It is, because it is insane and it is crazy. And, you know, I want to throw out there, too, because I've been in that place before being like, oh, God, what is the ego going to throw at me next? It wants you to be afraid of it. It wants
yeah.
you to think that it is going to make your life difficult, because that feeds it. The fear makes it, you know, gives it more strength. It's nothing. The whole belief in an ego is a belief in nothingness. It's a belief that nothingness is something. And so being able to also, you know, acknowledge that if you have fear, you know, towards the ego, to look at that with spirit, to let that evaporate like the clouds, like the fog that we were talking about earlier with Brian, because it wants you to be afraid of it. And yet it actually has power to do absolutely nothing over what you truly are, for the truth of what you are.
There is no evil lest man think it so.
Can you say that again, Paula?
There is no evil lest man think it so.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. It's perfect. Let's read the next two paragraphs, because I want to end on, rather than this whole death stuff, we're going to end with life. The ego is not a traitor to God, to whom treachery is impossible, but it is a traitor to you, who believe you have been treacherous to your Father. That is why the undoing of guilt is an essential part of the Holy Spirit's teaching. For as long as you feel guilty, you are listening to the voice of the ego, which tells you that you have been treacherous to God and therefore deserve death. You will think that death comes from God and not from the ego, because by confusing yourself with the ego, you believe that you want death. And from what you want, God does not save you. So in other words, God honors even our miscreations. When you are tempted to yield to the desire for death, remember that I did not die. Again, this is in all caps in the Sparkle Edition. You will realize that this is true when you look within and see me. Would I have overcome death for myself alone? And would eternal life have been given me of the Father unless he had also given it to you? When you learn to make me manifest, you will never see death. For you will have looked upon the deathless in yourself, and you will see only the eternal as you look out upon a world that cannot die. That's a much better place to end. Beautiful. I don't have any words. Does anybody else?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Have a
wonderful
week. And we'll return next week. I love you all. Have a great
Thank
week.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.